K-pop fans, stans, and everyone in between. I'm Dan. I know nothing about K-pop, but that hasn't stopped my friends here from dragging me into the K-pop abyss. Say hi, everyone.
Nick.
Hello.
Wow, she just stopped at welcome.
Okay, let's... okay. Okay, sure.
I'm Alyssa.
Yeah, and that's Alyssa. Dom, what are we talking about this week?
Okay, so this week I figured, why don't we talk about just kind of like some similarities or differences that I've noticed between like K-pop versus American / Western music and culture versus like even like maybe even Japan, just because we have some, you know, just some experience in that being what? Anyway,
you said it, not me.
We don't have a podcast all about us being trashy, no good weebs, right?
I am trash.
So we're talking about the differences between Western pop and K-pop, huh?
Yeah, just kind of like maybe like compare and contrast, kind of like even the standards of idol, quote unquote idols in like Western media versus Korean media.
Hmm.
Even like the way they interact with their fans are actually pretty different overall. Hmm.
All right, so how are we gonna start this?
When we tell you idol, Daniel, in terms of a Western context, what do you think an idol is? Like what you've noticed, like from anywhere from like Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, One Direction, Destiny's Child, Cheetah Girls.
Well, you guys, like we've established that my taste in music stopped in roughly around the 2007-2011 era. So, you know, I might be like the worst person to ask about that.
You named off pretty like consistent ones though. Like when we think of like idols, quote unquote, we think of the boy and girl groups here.
We typically think of the pop star.
Yeah, the pop star.
Because I don't know if America really has equivalent to idols the way they do in, say, South Korea or Japan.
Yeah, because in Asia, the term idol is different from even just a solo artist or a music artist. Because artist and idol are two separate entities in Asia. Whereas in America, in the Western area... You know, it's usually when you think idol, it's like someone you idolize in the sense of like, this is your role model. We don't think like pop stars in terms of idols where they would be in Korea.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And why do you think there is such a difference?
It's probably just how they take a mix from, because it's not like, even if culture translates, quote unquote, like, Western culture always gets adapted into Asian culture. But that culture doesn't stay the same. They shift it and change it based on the culture that's already present in that country. Mm. Like, that's part of my thing about culture is, like, maybe it's just because my, like, major was in anthropology. Is like, culture is always changing, and you always have influence from other things entering. So culture is never static, and it doesn't... It twists a lot, so it's a really hard topic. Also, a sensitive one, if we get too deep into it.
Yeah, but to say, I feel like we're about to open a can of worms there, so...
Yeah, no, but, like, on the surface level, essentially, they took something that was, quote-unquote, Western, like, the boy band thing, essentially, because it started with a boy band, and then that got twisted, and then made to fit and be accepted into more of a Asian culture standpoint, which tends to be more conservative and this and that and standards, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, usually when we think boy band, the first thing in America you'll think of is what? NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, I believe?
I mean, you could argue...
For the more modern people, it's One Direction, but...
I mean, you could argue you started with New Kids on the Block or, you know, Menudo. Jesus Christ, I'm aging myself.
Well, I mean, in terms of, like, pop.
I was gonna say, just in general, that's, like, our generation, too, because that's a lot of what we grew up with was Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, and...
Yeah.
like
'90s,
because that's what I grew up listening to.
That's also our listener age base.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But yeah, so like, anyway, we'll just move on from that. But like, one of the biggest things I've noticed is the way that people interact with their fans.
Yeah, I think this is a, probably one of the biggest things I noticed is like a difference between like K-pop and Western pop is that you don't really see
similarities there, for sure.
Really?
Okay, but it, mainly in the similarity that like kind of like their private life isn't really private anymore, and everyone wants in on their business kind of thing.
Well, that's just celebrity in general, to be fair.
That's just celebrity in general, but like it's. I think, though, in Asia, it does get amplified somewhat. Because there, like, we've mentioned this before, they have this thing called Sazeng. Sazeng, basically the crazy fans that, like, stalk them, break into their houses, send them letters written in blood. Like, I'm sure Western artists get it, too. But it doesn't nearly get as televised as much, or they don't talk about it. And they just kind of, like, call the cops and move on with their lives kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Asia, it's like a in Korea, it's like a consistent problem that they have to put up with. Like one, I think it was more recently. I don't know if it was really like an anti, like quite a, or a hater, essentially doing it. But someone called in like a bomb threat or something like that for one for I think it was A-Pink. I want to say. But technically, you could possibly consider them as hazing as well. There's one where they're like, oh, I love him so much that they in like a bottle of water or something that was handed to one of the artists, TVXQ, that girl injected essentially like chemicals into it and he almost died from that. So now he's really paranoid and like the bottle has to be opened in front of him and someone else has to take like a sip out of it before handing it to him kind of thing.
Wow. That's intense.
Yeah, like, they're pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, I mean, like, in America, it would not stand, right?
No, you would immediately call that behavior out, and it'd be, like, a media frenzy, like, condemning that behavior.
Yeah, so, like, everyone does, but it's, like, for some reason, in Korea, like, it seems to persist, whereas here, it's kind of, like, one-offs. Kind of, like, the rare, one in, like, say, 25. Like, if we want to give it quote-unquote odds. In Asia, I think it's more like 2 or 3 out of 25 kind of thing. It happens more frequently.
I mean, when you said fan interaction, I was thinking, like, you know, those fan events or, in Melissa's case, the constant phone calls with your favorites. I didn't mean to call you out. I feel so bad about that.
I feel bad. It's true.
It's fine.
No, I figured we should touch on the heavier one first. And then we can move on to a close. But yeah, so there's also that. They definitely interact more on a personal basis. They essentially stream for like 30 minutes, anywhere from 30 minutes to like a few couple hours, just talking and interacting with their fans. Like essentially just having a just chatting stream.
Mm-hmm.
Through like different, through via live mostly, but though some have started doing it on YouTube.
And Instagram.
A couple have Twitches or they stream there too.
Instagram is pretty big too, because a lot of the NCT members do Instagram it on Instagram.
I mean, that isn't to say like in question artists don't do it. I've seen like Brynn and Yuri do multiple like Twitch streams before. So
no,
like, it's not
it.
As common. It's not as common.
Yeah, it's not as common. And I feel like that's more of a more recent thing, especially ever since like BTS started gaining in popularity.
Hmm.
It's kind of like, I feel like some artists have started taking notes on how, like, Asian media essentially does it.
I also feel like that's just kind of a, like, dependent on the personality of the Western artist.
Yeah.
Because, like, at least, like, thinking of Brendan Neary, like, he seems like the type that would want to do something like that for sure. Because he seems like the nerdy type. Whereas, like, other people I can't think of that would, like, be... more
you wouldn't see someone like Beyonce doing that.
Yeah. You know, like, and I can't foresee her going on and being like, oh, I'm gonna do like a random YouTube, you know, like live.
Yeah, and I get the feeling that and I, here's where I see, where I got the feeling, like, you know, you kind of mentioned there, like, Brandon Urie seems like the type who would want to. Bring out, say, obviously, if she doesn't want to do it, she won't do it. I get the feeling that for a lot of these K-pop idols, they do it because they have to.
So it's half they have to and half, like they're obliged to do, like, here and there. Like, they don't have to do it themselves if they don't feel like it, but they do want at least one person or a couple people to go on and do these live streams. They do live streams like right before a comeback, like when they're about to come out with a new song, they'll do kind of like a countdown live, essentially counting down till when the song gets released.
Or they'll do stuff for specific events. Like, you see a lot of people do stuff for their birthdays or their anniversary, stuff like that.
Yeah, most people would want to, like, you know, some celebrities would want to take that day to be private or do its private thing. You know, you see K-pop idols, they use this as a chance to, like, just interact with fans or make it a big event to kind of build their connection.
Yeah. And then you've mentioned before the video call fan signs. So that's another thing, autographs. So, like, K-pop artists are essentially required to do so many autographs for each, like, comeback, right?
Mm-hmm.
They sign so many albums, they do this, and they have quotas. It's similar in Japan where the idols there do that as well. They have certain quotas of they have to sign all these things. And then they either get sold or they go through, like, giveaways and stuff like that. Whereas, like, in the Western media, an autograph from someone is more of, like, oh, a charity's happening, we're auctioning off an autographed CD, or, like, you just happen to run into them and they were willing to give you an autograph. Like, it's much harder to get that interaction and get that autograph signed, essentially. Again, that's changed because, one, cons exist. And then stuff like, while it was running, there was, like, virtual autograph sessions and stuff like that. Sure. Though it never really took off, I think, to the point where, like, it does in, like, Asia. But honestly, you'll find autographs from, like, actors and actresses more than you would from, like, music artists. Which is an interesting dynamic there.
You would think that a musical artist would sign more often.
Yeah.
Because, like, especially as they're trying to promote albums and everything, that's a good way to be able to get traction.
Yeah. And do more physical sales. Like, for the longest time, I think even now, kind of, like, it's slowly making a comeback with people going back into quote-unquote retro and wanting to buy physicals and stuff like that just to have a copy. But yeah. With digital media, it's so prevalent, mostly in the Western market, like, physical albums never took off the way it did in Korea or even Japan or something. But a lot of times they'll have, like, even in Korea, though, they'll be like, oh, so, like, 100 albums will have an a hand-signed autograph from the artist hidden throughout the batches that's going to go out worldwide or being sold at this certain store. Like, things like that. So they put in, like, incentives, essentially, to buy these albums, and you don't see that really with... Actually, I don't think you really see it at all, unless it's, like, a special anniversary thing.
It's mainly because of the prevalency of streaming applications here in the U.S. We are so, like, on the go that the idea of physical media is something, unless you're a hardcore collector of, say, like, CDs or vinyl, you typically just want to stream your artist's favorite song on, like, say, Spotify or whatever.
Yeah, whereas, like, with K-pop, physical albums and collecting those are a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, even in Asia, though, the differences between idol standards is quite interesting to see, dynamic-wise. It showed most prevalently, I think, in the old produced series. I can't believe I have to call them old now. Only like 2 years now, 2-3 years now. But Produce, what was it, 48, and Girls Planet 999, I think it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those two showed it quite prevalently when they were doing the evaluations. So at the very beginning, essentially, the idol trainees got evaluated by a panel of experts in their field. So dance, vocals, general idol person being the head person. But, mm-hmm. or even a rap judge, they would evaluate them and say, like, this is where you rank, essentially. And you can really see the differences of what countries expected looking at their idol trainees. So Korea sets a standard of, one, you must look a certain level of attractive. Two, you have to be good at dancing. Or at the very least, at an average level of dancing, if not extraordinary. And three, you have to have a good voice. Like, you have to have all three. You have to be the whole complete package kind of thing. So not only did Korea put talent on a high block, they also put looks on a high block. So you have to have an equal or similar amount for both. Whereas Japan, it was much more important that you did your best and you enjoyed yourself on stage so other people would also enjoy it with you. They were much more focused on, I guess, the interaction, you could say. Like, they didn't have to be great at dancing, they didn't have to be great at singing, but they had to have, like, a really great, like, personality and have...
personality, stage presence.
Stage presence, and just generally be shown enjoying themselves on the stage. You could see that the most when they were doing 48 with the AKB 48 girls, because all those girls had already been on the stage and they've been performing all this time. So versus the idol trainees, it's like they definitely ranked lower in terms of like skill level, but like them enjoying themselves and putting on a good show is more important for them. And then China puts talent over everything else, I believe, is what Jamie had pointed out.
Yeah, I think so. Whenever she watches any kind of a, like, survival program.
Yeah. Like, talent was king for them, essentially. Just talent. Okay. Looks came after that. So, like, in terms of that tier. So it was interesting seeing the contrast between those three. So it was fun watching that, if only for that.
All right.
There are many other problems in the produce that we've covered before, so I won't go into those.
Honestly, this topic could be something we could like revisit for like a part two in the future. But as we're kind of wrapping up on time, any kind of final thoughts before we kind of move on to the descent?
There's a lot more. I definitely think we can definitely come back to this topic because we only covered like maybe like one or two aspects.
I feel like we only scratched the surface.
Yeah, like there's definitely more we can talk about, which I think is a good one to come back to later, though.
Okay.
But all right. For now, I think that's about it.
All right, so let's move on to this week's descent. What was I supposed to listen to this week, guys?
I gave you a beautiful song that is called Noir by Sunmi.
So I literally watched this song like a minute before we started recording.
And it was my... I will just also preface, I did not have any particular reason for like choosing this for today's topic. I just kind of went, I like this song, I want to listen to it.
Yeah, I like this song. Again, when I was looking at the date, I do this thing now when I'm watching it on these YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. I look at the date, and if it's like March of 2019, I start thinking like, oh my God, they did not know what was coming. I can't help but think that nowadays.
I mean, it's fair. I've told you, I've said this before to, I think, Melissa, but the world can be divided into two time zones now, pre-COVID and after COVID.
You're not wrong, and that's not just the music. That's about everything nowadays.
Yeah.
About the song, like, I thought it was, I liked her vocals, I liked the visuals. I thought it was a little, I guess the theme of the video was hot mess, because that's all I was getting, that's the vibe I was getting from the song and the video. Because this is like, I'm seeing a person mentally break down while smiling and posting about it.
So
I thought it was kind of fun.
So a lot of people actually thought that the commentary on the MV was essentially social media in general, like on Instagram. Because if you notice, there was a lot of Instagram stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, so the
Yeah, the posing of certain shots, like the idea, like, oh, you know, I look at me, I'm being held over, and it's really just yourself, just posting by yourself. There's no one with you at all, and I thought that was a really interesting take on that.
Yeah, but also it's kind of like, how far will you go for that perfect shot kind of thing?
And people will go through extreme lengths.
Yeah, like, I'm sure we all have, but we've all seen, like, some horror stories.
Mm-hmm.
From that stuff, but like mm-hmm. it's just like
All right, so if you guys want to suggest a song for The Descent for us, hit us up on the official network socials at NGP Productions on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, everything. While you're there, you can also find a link to our Discord, which is the best way to reach us, because me, Melissa, Dom, Jamie, their cast of all our other shows are always there hanging around. Love to hear from you guys. We love interacting with our listeners. We're not mean, guys. We love to hear from you guys. Talk to us. We love it. But where can people find us individually, Dom?
Oh, I'm on Twitter, if not the Discord, at Thus the Raven.
Melissa?
At Subject Despair.
And you can find myself at Danyan Senpai. But until then, guys, this has been Dragged in the K-Pop Abyss, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Blee blee.
Bye. I'm gonna go get some more.